news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Special interview on the way on this final day of Veterans Month at FM Talk 106.5.
Yes, and a lot more to get to in this hour. We'll turn up your voice in just a little bit on the text line, 251-343-0106. Also on the way, at the bottom of the hour, a conversation with Rob Hobart from Lanyap as City of Mobile potentially making marijuana possession a ticketable offense rather than an instant trip to jail. So we'll get into that with Rob on the way as well.
We caught up with a special guest yesterday. So this conversation was actually yesterday morning, Dalton, but a gentleman who was taking on quite a project, I guess you would say, and it's going coast to coast. His name is John Ring.
Yeah, and our resident Marine, Tom Claxton, brought this to our attention. Tom, always a great guy, and talked with John on Scuttlebutt, this week's Scuttlebutt Network. But John, we're so glad to get to talk to you about this fantastic thing you're doing for veterans. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me this morning.
So Walk for Vets and the website walkforvets.org. Before we get into what exactly you're doing in our area right now, talk about your, it says you're the founder here on the website. What was that process like? What was your thoughts behind Walk for Vets?
Well, it originally started out as Buddy Watch Walk in 2019. I was still serving in the military. I served for another 2 years after that. And I just saw, you know, our veterans slipping through the cracks, needing help, not really understanding. I was older when I enlisted. So I hate to say it, but I wasn't brainwashed into that mindset. And, you know, I really kind of had like more of a dad approach to things and, you know, seeing the younger kids, and I had older kids at the time and friends that I served with kind of just falling down the cracks. And I wanted to help. I wanted to learn, you know. And so in 2019, October 1st, I launched a Buddy Watch Walk from Tybee Island, Georgia, to Santa Monica, California, to raise awareness to veterans' issues. And at that point, all of them, because I wanted to learn what the issues were and how it was affecting our veteran community. It was a phenomenal experience. I mean, I'll never be able to recreate that, but 2,462 miles from coast to coast. And I just met phenomenal people all over the country that really veterans and just people that cared and wanted to be a part of it. And then after that, just kept it going. And eventually I founded Walk for Vets. I wanted to make it more veteran friendly. Buddy Walk is an autism walk, and kind of wanted to, you know, not step on their toes. Mm-hmm. So that's when I changed it to walkforvets.org. And then since then, you know, we did a walk from Jackson, Mississippi to Tybee Island. We've done 22 states in 22 consecutive days. I'm up to about 4,500 miles walking across the United States in about 34 states that I've walked in, and got a good network of people. Like right now, we're out here on Highway 90 outside of Theodore, and I got three Army veterans with me, and we're doing a relay style walk where we all kind of save our legs a little bit, our feet. Not used to it. I'm not used to that. I used to doing it all, but it's great, you know, just having the participation out here and the people that have the heart to want to be a part of this.
John, how is the money raised, and where does the money go?
So basically, I put my donation link up only when we're on a mission. Okay. I'm not one of those organizations. I don't collect money all year round. I don't want money sitting. I don't like that. I mean, a lot of organizations do that. This is not my thing. Why have it if I'm not using it? So, any donation that is made, goes to actually just helping the mission. Once the mission is completed, anything that we have left, and sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't, we'll pick an organization, you know, that is related to what we're doing. Sometimes I see local organizations all across the country, and sure, if one touches me, I'll grab one and make a donation. Back in 2020, there's an organization out of Savannah, Georgia, called Fight the War Within. The founder, Miranda Briggs, lost her husband to suicide in 2018. We raised $12,000 for them, doing a walk, from Jackson to Tybee. So, I mean, just helping other organizations, but, you know, obviously helping our mission as well. I don't like to accumulate money, though. It's not even a big thing. If you follow us on social media, you'll rarely ever see me posting anything about money, you know, because, I mean, it's not about that. It's about the mission. And, you know, I'd rather come out of pocket. I hate to say that, but I'd rather come out of pocket to get it done than, you know, a lot of the American Legions that are suffering right now, you know, they try to hand me a check and I'll just be like, no, just put it local. I mean, you all need it.
So the mission is the walk itself, correct? It's a walk of awareness. So people are aware that these veterans are suffering. Give me the numbers. How many veterans are suffering? How many veterans are taking their own lives?
Well, right now, I mean, the stigma, you know, the popular thing is to say, you know, 22 a day.
Yeah.
It's when we started paying attention.
Right.
Statistically at 22 a day when we started paying attention and we started creating organizations to balance that and to fight that. But in reality, it's 31. Hmm. Some places like in Alabama, I think it's 44. You know, so it's staggering. I mean, it's actually an epidemic. I mean, let's be real. You know, and it doesn't get enough attention because the people that go down this road, but the people that could do the most work with a pen, they're afraid to ask the questions.
Yep.
And rather than have somebody come in and say, hey, look, you know, I don't know about this, but you, man, you walk all across the country, or you are a leader of this organization, or you deal with this a lot in our state. How can I help this situation? We don't want to do that. We just want to act like, you know, it doesn't exist. So that way we don't have to look a certain way and not answer questions. I hate to say that, but that's reality.
And well said, John. And, you know, we don't have to dive too deep into the politics, but it doesn't win votes. That's what it comes down to. It's awful.
Right.
And it doesn't win votes for the politicians. You mentioned, and we're talking with John Ring, walkforvets.org. You mentioned social media. Is it that easy to find you on social media? Would I search Walk for Vets, or how would I go about following you guys?
Walkforvets.org, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Believe it or not, I have helped a lot of veterans off of TikTok. People don't really sleep on that. They have their negative thoughts on it, but I probably helped over 100 veterans off of TikTok.
Wow.
Just that we're in dark places. And, you know, so I travel all over. They asked me this morning at breakfast, they're like, where's home? I said, I don't know, wherever I sleep. But I'm all over the country all the time. And I just love what I do. It is tiring. It really is. People are like, oh, you know, you're 44 years old. You're out there traveling. Yeah, but I mean, I got a kid who's a senior in high school this year, and I'm always back and forth from South Carolina. It's never convenient. I tell people that, like, doing anything good to help people, it's never convenient, and it's very hard. People, you know, you can make excuses all day long why you're not out doing something. But, I mean, I beat down those barriers, and I just, hey, you know, I'm going to do it. And it is tough, though. Yeah. It really is. I mean, I couldn't tell you where home is.
Well, you know, hats off to you. I did want to ask you, and we've been calling this November every year on our station Veterans Month, as the entire month we have conversations with usually local veterans, but veterans from all places and stripes. And so many that we've talked to, like you, have gone on after their military careers to do something for the community or do something for their veteran community. And I know that they find like an extra purpose in doing that. And you mentioned how many veterans you've helped through social media, or how many you've gotten in contact with through these walks. Have you found that others have found purpose? Maybe they were close to being one of those statistics, but they've found purpose through Walk for Vets to help you assist other vets. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, so, you know, it's one thing, like, when you're out there helping people, that, you know, I don't really pay attention to that. And I guess you'd call it being modest. I have a guy out here right now who just showed up 2 days ago, again, for the second time on this walk, from California, who's put his hand out and thanked me for saving his life.
Wow.
It hits you deep. It hits you really deep. And, you know, on social media, you know, I've had the same response. And, you know, it's a matter of listening. That's probably the biggest thing. Veterans just need somebody to talk to, that understands, that isn't going to tell them what they need to do. Just listen, you know, and guide. and do it. You know, I mean, I don't do what I do because I deal with those issues. A lot of veterans out there, you know, they walk and they run and they do this because they're dealing with PTSD. I don't deal with it on that level from combat. I deal with it probably from working in the prison system for years, but you know, it's just, I don't do it for that reason. So I welcome veterans that are dealing with PTSD because they actually strengthen the mission. They're able to talk. They're able to talk to people that I might or not understand their story. Now, I've been doing this for a long time, so I mean, I've heard almost everything that there is, and you know, I try to help everybody. And if I can't, you know, I'll reach out to somebody I have and I know has experience with that, and I'll connect them. And it's made a huge difference.
John,
just
again,
advocating.
All the information is at the website.
Walkforvets.org.
.org, right. And thank you for your time this morning. You know, when you come upon somebody and they say, what's going on? You say, yeah, I'm just passing through. That's literally what you're doing. But passing through with a great heart.
Yeah, and I do have one general question for you before we leave this conversation, John. So you don't have to be modest. I know you like walking through Alabama, especially our coastal part here. What state has been to you, or you can even say a couple, the most beautiful to walk through? Which state have you liked the most that you've walked through?
Well, I'm torn between the beach and history. I love both. Mm. And so I learned a lot of history walking from Savannah to Vicksburg because it was Sherman's march to the sea.
Yeah.
Walking through small towns,
yeah,
hearing the stories and, you know, just putting the pieces together. I love that. But also the coastal walk. I just said it the other day, the guy that planned this walk is a genius because 70% of it is along the coast.
That's awesome.
Thanks. And they were like, that was you.
You're the genius.
Yeah. Hey, John, thanks a bunch again for your time this morning and continued success with the walk and with the awareness.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on.
We'll be following you all along the way. We appreciate it, John.
Thanks, sir.
That's John Ring. Walkforvets.org. Powerful, powerful stuff there.
Yep.
And we'll share that site on our social media. Make it easy for you to find. But fantastic stuff there from John.
More Mobile Mornings straight ahead. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Dalton at 23 on Mobile Mornings, and Rob Holberg with Landyap Mobile in a few minutes after 8:30 this morning.
A traffic update for you here. Medical emergency, I-10 eastbound. This is near exit 25, the Virginia Street exit. Medical emergency, I-10 eastbound. Leanna took a look at the ALDOT traffic cams. Looks like it's an 18-wheeler, and it is on the right shoulder, but apparently right now not affecting traffic too much, but probably wise to make sure you're kind of going slow. Try to get over into the left lane,
sure,
if you can. But medical emergency, I-10 eastbound near exit 25, and they say to expect minor delays.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis set for a primetime debate. It's going to be in Georgia tonight. Instead of facing a 2024 Republican presidential primary or any of those rivals, in fact, he's going to instead square up with Gavin Newsom, the 90-minute debate. I guess it's basically Hannity's time, right? It's at 8 Central?
Yeah, it's Hannity, which starts at 8, and then whose time is he cutting into? I don't even know. I forget who comes on after Hannity these days. Is it Waters? No, Waters is before Hannity.
The blonde woman.
Laura Ingraham?
Laura Ingraham, yeah. I think he cuts into her.
She may be before, too. I don't know. We'll have to, but regardless, it's Hannity's night with the two governors.
They're calling it the great red versus blue state debate. Maybe they're having it in Georgia because, of course, that was the linchpin state, or many would look at it that way, that has always been red and turned blue.
I think, and they say Hannity will moderate. I don't think they will have any other moderators, but I think Mickey Mouse would be a great moderator for this debate, as both are home to Mickey Mouse, Florida and California.
Anaheim and Orlando.
Yeah.
True.
You wonder if Mickey...
Hey, what do you say about spending?
Who would know better than Mickey Mouse what's going on in both states, right? So he could ask the important questions.
That...
That would at least let Mickey ask one, or Goofy.
Yeah. Oh, Goofy would for sure ask a stupid question.
Yeah.
But how do you think it's going to go tonight? I mean, I've been on behalf of DeSantis. I'm nervous for him tonight, and I've made no bones about it. As we've talked about Gavin Newsom, I don't like his politics. I don't think he is a good governor, but I do think he is a good much politician. Better politician.
Yeah.
Than Ron DeSantis is, even though, you know, Florida, I think, did a much better job through the pandemic than most states, actually. You've seen DeSantis on the debate stage with several other people previously, you know, as he's had a crowded debate stage. And he hasn't won the poll for any of the debates. Like, no one has come out and said, wow, DeSantis crushed that. I think he's the best candidate in this race. He's just kind of middle of the pack. It seems that way, but I'm worried not just for DeSantis tonight, but I've also made no bones about it. I think Newsom will end up being the Democrat nominee going into next year, and this could be that little boost that he needs.
Yeah, DeSantis, not a great debater. It's not necessarily the words that he says, because a lot of people like a lot of the policies that he implemented, especially during COVID, and on behalf of parents and schools, people, you know, Florida likes DeSantis, obviously, and you know, Newsom just, he's cut out of a completely, California's just a different place, and everybody was shut down. Remember when he got caught in the restaurant when he told everybody else no eating out?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was early on in the pandemic, and he had some other missteps like that. But he didn't get called out on him as much as a GOP member would, it seems, and no surprise there.
No, and I think with him not being an official nominee for president, and I doubt that DeSantis has been doing, you know, reams and reams of homework every night on California, the state, mm-hmm. as he has to focus on the national picture and international picture as he's running for president. And Newsom can go directly at DeSantis for not just his policies, but unpopular Republican policies. Whereas if DeSantis tries to hit Newsom on the border or economics for the country, you know, inflation and everything, I think Newsom will be able to just kind of lie or sidestep or say, hey, that's not me, man. I'm not running the country.
Well, he can't deny the border. And they're San Diego right now, Tijuana to San Diego is crazy right mm-hmm. now with people. The story that I read earlier this week at one of our three big things, the wording was stampeding,
mm-hmm.
these human stampedes across the border in parts of California. Newsom'll have to account for that, I guess. Now, he has been on the move so much, it's almost like I forgot he's still the acting governor of California.
Or of Newsom, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he had the trip to China. Patted Xi Jinping's back before Jinping came to San Francisco.
Yeah, he could have waited, you know.
He had that news conference where someone said, are you just cleaning the homeless? Are you just cleaning up the homeless problem because the Chinese dictator's coming to town? And he went, yeah, that's exactly how we're cleaning it up. And they did it quickly.
Yeah.
So I don't, are you, let us know on the text line, 251-343-0106. Do you plan to watch the debate tonight? I don't see how I'll be able to resist. I'm definitely going to be watching, but I think it's...
What interests you most about this debate?
It's just so strange. You've got a presidential candidate debating someone who's not even in the race.
Not even declared.
Technically, although you do know it's got to be in his future plans, even if it doesn't come up this next year.
Yeah.
It's just, it seems the risk-reward. Now, if you're just talking about the risk to DeSantis' presidential hopes, I don't think it's a huge risk because I don't think he has a great chance of winning the nomination as the Republican candidate.
No, as we sit now, yeah, he doesn't.
But if you talk about the risk to his political career in general or to the Republicans' chances in 2024, if this ends up being a big campaign advertisement for Gavin Newsom and maybe is the launching board he needs to get into this race, replace Biden, if that comes to it, then this could be a bad thing, not just for DeSantis, but for Republicans across the country. I don't know.
I could see President Biden going one more cup of Ovaltine to stay up and watch this thing tonight. You know?
He just might.
Curiously. It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. We're going to talk to Rob Holbert from Landyap Mobile here in just a moment. I've been here to tell you about this new pharmacy over in Fairhope. I think it's great. It's called Coastal Pharmacy. And if you're tired of waiting in lines for your prescriptions, that will not happen at Coastal Pharmacy. And if you come in for something and you're not feeling well, they know. They get on it and they get you in and out quickly. And if you want to switch to Coastal Pharmacy, they'll do all the work. Just call Coastal Pharmacy and they'll handle everything, including the transfer requests. Not a problem. Also, you get free delivery within 6 miles of the pharmacy, and they can even negotiate beyond that. It's easy in every way at the new Coastal Pharmacy, and you can visit the Coastal Pharmacy, well, tell you what, online right now, thecoastalpharmacy.com. You can learn more. You can learn about the free delivery, and you can also come see us over there. FM Talk 106.5 broadcasting live next Thursday from Coastal Pharmacy. It's on Greeno Road next to Chicken Salad Chick. So we'll be there from 11 to 1. Coastal Pharmacy, again, more information online at thecoastalpharmacy.com.
A quick traffic update. We talked about this a little last segment, but on I-10 eastbound near the exit 25, Virginia Street exit, there's a medical emergency, apparently an 18-wheeler on the right shoulder, and an ambulance there as well. So be aware as you travel I-10 eastbound near mile marker 25. It is a Thursday. That means it's time to talk with Rob Holbert from Landyap, and online, landyapmobile.com. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing well. Did you have a happy Thanksgiving last week?
I did. I ate tremendous amounts of food, like all a good American should.
Yeah, yeah, that's our duty, I think, for Thanksgiving. We have to
it
do
is.
That.
It is.
I thought this was a blockbuster story here, and you got everyone on the team there involved. Kyle Hamrick, Dale Leash, I think Brady Petrie even assisted in this. But possibly the city of Mobile could make marijuana possession a ticketable offense rather than a instant trip to jail. That would certainly change some policing around here.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it was brought up several years ago. Mayor Stimson brought that concept up, and it got a lot of backlash from that then district attorney. Ashley Rich was one of the people, I think, that really was kind of against it pretty strenuously. But the state legislature there is a state law that basically will allow cities and counties to make those decisions themselves. And I think that there's some interest in looking at that. It looks like city council is interested in that as well. It kind of comes in the wake of this pre-dawn warrant serving that happened a couple weeks ago, in which a 16-year-old was shot. Although I would still point out that probably this wouldn't necessarily have changed that, because the guy they were looking for, even though the warrant said that it was paraphernalia and possession, they thought that he was distributing marijuana as well. But
right.
That's kind of the impetus for this. And I think, it would allow officers a lot of leeway to decide whether they're going to write somebody a ticket or they're going to arrest them. And, it gets people out of, it gets officers from having to take somebody to jail for having a joint.
Right. And, kind of doing the pros and cons to this, and I'm not privy to obviously everything that the Mobile Police Department is working with, the statistics they have, but if it's simple marijuana possession, all right, the pros here, with fewer police on the streets, because they, just like so many other departments, are having trouble getting people hired on, it's kind of, if you're arresting people for low-level drug offenses while they're still illegal, I think most people would agree you'd rather have police looking into possible, domestic violence or other forms of maybe stronger crimes. Also, marijuana possession, I think many times they've been able to find, fentanyl and other harder drugs around the country through what initially started out as a bust for marijuana. I guess that would still be the case if they pull someone over and just give them a ticket, they could kind of search the vehicle or whatever. But I could see probably a lot of pushback coming the mayor's way if he does try to make this happen.
Well, I think there's definitely going to be pushback. Will it be strong enough to keep it from happening? I don't know. I think there's probably a lot of upside to it from the standpoint of, do you want your police officers pulling people over and taking them to jail, having to process, do all that stuff, or would you rather have them out on the street patrolling for bigger crimes?
Yeah, I think that certainly an argument to be had. And when you look at other cities around the country, of course, not everybody, you know, Mobile's uniquely Mobile, but there are cities and states that have, have decriminalized marijuana in some areas of the country, right?
Yeah, or even legalized.
Yeah, and this is not a decriminalization. You know, that I think that's something that needs to be understood. People will, I think, say this is, that's decriminalizing. It's not decriminalizing. It's still illegal. It's just changing the way that they're handling the punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the punishment is no longer, if it passes, the punishment, I guess the best way to say it, it gives the officers a lot more leeway in how they determine what punishment's going to happen. Whether that's going to be an arrest and go to jail, or you're going to get a ticket and have to pay that fine.
Yeah, instead of going to jail, bonding out, and then going back for your court date, you get the ticket and go to the court date, but it's still likely the same
traffic violation
charges. Yeah. Also, Rob, we've seen so many different police chases around here, well, everywhere, but I wonder if maybe this could possibly limit some of those if people know they'd be getting a ticket rather than instant trip to jail. And I don't know what percentage of police chases come from someone who just has simple marijuana possession. Probably not many, but that's probably something they're thinking about as well.
Well, I mean, I think we've seen police chases start from things as simple as a lane change. You know, I don't know if it's one of those things that probably if it stops people from thinking they may go to jail, you may be right. It may be something where folks are less likely to run from police and start, you know, a process mm-hmm. that often can end in tragedy and end in people, innocent people being hurt. But, you know, I think the main thing is it saves officers time if they go that route. I mean, I think that's the big thing they're looking at. You know, I'm not saying I'm an advocate or not for it, but I do get that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if it's something that helps officers stay out there doing things that are, I think most of us would feel are more important, it may be a good idea.
And speaking of weed, the latest in the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission saga, which it's just...
It's a saga.
It's hysterical at this point that they've been sued several times. They've gone back to the drawing board at least twice. And now they've decided, in order to dismiss the lawsuits, they'll completely do away with the scores that the University of South Alabama gave to these different companies. And I guess all of this boils down to the way that these companies applied for contracts or applied for the state to choose them. There was an issue with the size of the PDFs they were able to upload, and some people just drove it on out to Montgomery, their files, and gave it to them instead. So other people felt like they got kind of screwed out of this whole thing. I mean, talk about bureaucracy and how it can go wrong. This is like the definition right here.
Well, you know, what they tried to do from the very beginning was to try to tightly control who was going to get, you know, to pick winners and losers, essentially. Because people were complaining and saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to have pot dispensaries on every corner. So they went through and said, okay, we're going to limit this. We're going to make sure it's extremely controlled. But when they did that, some people who were very powerful and who have political connections got left out.
Yep.
Boy, they raised hell.
Yep.
You know, and so those folks who are used to winning and didn't win went crazy over it. Mm-hmm. And so that's been the whole thing. You know, it's been a big issue of going back to the drawing board over and over again, because I mean, I think the beginning of it was that, you know, wait a minute, so-and-so didn't get their permit to do it. And they, and like, wait, you know,
how'd that happen?
Why do we bring this politically connected person in mm-hmm. if they didn't get it? You know, so that's, I think that's where you see a lot of this coming from. It's bad politics. I mean, it's just, you know, typical bad Alabama politics. That's what it boils down to.
Rob, would you imagine it's going to end up like the people that were kicking and screaming, they're going to get their way?
You know, that's usually what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it usually doesn't end until the people who are the quote-unquote right people get taken care of, right? You know, that's how it often happens. You know, I would think that you're going to see the people who are used to, you know, the folks who put a lot of money into it and who expected to be involved in it and didn't get a permit are not going to shut up until they get their permit.
You know, one place that you're not judged by your political connections or anything like that is the playing field in sports. And when you look at what Mobile has produced through the years, some of the greatest baseball players that we've ever known, and now this Heroes Plaza officially is going to, I guess they broke ground the other day, maybe yesterday, but it's on, and it's going to be, I think, pretty cool. What do you think?
I thought it was David Rasp expanding out there at Heroes, and when they said Heroes Plaza, I'm like, man, he's really stepping it up.
He's going for it, yeah.
Yeah, it looks cool, but out there, it's going to be at Cooper Riverside Park. The concept, the drawing looks nice. It's cool. You know, I think it's hopefully something that can attract people to walk across six lanes of traffic and go over there.
Exactly.
That's the hard part over there. It's not an easy sell sometimes to get across a very busy water street. But, it'll be nice. It'll look good. Hopefully it'll bring some folks over there.
I'm sorry, Dalton.
Well, I was going to say, and hopefully, it gives a lot of the kids in this area a little more motivation. It's like, hey, these guys made it out. They can do it. Maybe I can do the same thing.
And I could see for people down in the hotel district downtown that would be a no-brainer to risk your life. Rob, whatever happened years ago, and I'm talking maybe 8 years ago, I thought there was talk of reducing the lanes on Water Street to take care of that problem. Obviously, you can't get on I-10 going west anymore, or east, actually. You got to continue on. But anyway, so it's... I thought that there was a move for that, and maybe it was under when Colby Cooper was in the mayor's office.
Well, there's been some relining out there. I mean, if you look, there are bicycle lanes and things like that. And some, one of the consultants they brought down had some concepts of, just changing pattern flows of traffic by just doing, like, painting different stripes and doing things and creating different zones. And, I think it's probably better than it used to be. It's still a pretty busy road, and it's still not an easy trek across there all the time. It's not something that a lot of people want to walk across. I think that's always been the difficulty for that park, because it's a nice place to go walk out there along the river.
Right.
There's nothing there's nothing wrong with the park. It's just that a lot of folks are kind of put off, I think, by the road. Mm-hmm. And there was the expectation, of course, that you've got conventions going on in one place. You've got the Gulf Quest was supposed to have, hundreds of thousands of people there, and some of those things that didn't, in particular, didn't happen. So, mm-hmm. I think that was some of the idea that hopefully they would see a lot more people over there.
If you're a complete scaredy cat, like me, you can always go to the parking garage and take the elevated sidewalk over if you want.
You can walk across, and you can go across the Skyway there.
Yes,
you can do that. Hang glide over the top.
Rob, really appreciate you coming on with us today. And folks can pick up this latest issue of Lanyap on stands now, or maybe sign up online. Maybe gift for Christmas a subscription online to Lanyap. How could they do that?
Give yourself one for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's daily news. I mean, that's really, we are a daily newspaper online. You're missing news. If you're not online, it's only $1.50, a week to do it. It's $6.50 a month, and it's $1 just for the first month to try it out. If you don't like it, you can cancel it, but we think you will. And there's a lot of stuff going on around town, and we're trying to cover it every day.
Yeah, you guys do a great job in covering it, Tim. We appreciate it, man, and thanks for coming on with us every Thursday. We appreciate that too, Rob. Thanks.
All right, y'all have a great day. Bye.
All right, Rob Hobert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And, I do check that thing multiple times a day to see what's going on in our area. 8:48, Jeff Poor Show will be coming up next. We'll tell you who's coming on the Jeff Poor Show. Plus, we'll get to your texts on the other side of this break. 251-343-0106. AM 852 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings, coming to the text line here in a minute at 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law, a personal injury law firm based right here in Mobile, Alabama, and they've been working for decades helping folks on both sides of the bay. They've been successful, the attorneys at Tobias Gomer Law, in representing injured maritime workers with numerous cases involving catastrophic injury and death, but they represent victims in all manner of personal injuries, wrongful death, defective products, trucking accidents, alcohol or drug-related injuries, medical malpractice, which is a big one I hear often from people who've had trouble going through surgeries, also automobile accidents and premises liability. When you choose to work with Tobias and Comer Law, you're choosing a personal injury law firm that provides the highest quality legal representation on the Alabama Gulf Coast. And they treat every client and case with the dedication and compassion that they deserve. So check them out online. They're good friends of mine, TobiasComerLaw.com. And on that site, you can find their phone number also for a free consultation, 24/7 free, at 251-432-5001. That's TobiasComerLaw.com.
Yeah, Damn Yankee on the text line says, if you haven't been on Water Street lately, it's becoming an industrial complex of trucks coming and going from the state docks. City's trying to put lipstick on a pig. Okay.
There's a lot of trucks down there. That's right.
And, you know, so on the one side of Water Street, you got 165, where you're screaming down that thing going, you know, 70 miles an hour, pretty much. It's an interstate, you know, spur, I guess you would say. And then you on the other end of Water Street, you have...
Run parallel to 10.
People coming, yeah, coming on from I-10, and they're going at a rapid rate of speed. So even the people that are coming onto Water Street, they're coming on from places where they were really going.
How long ago did they close that on-ramp to 10 that's right there at the tunnel?
A couple years ago, maybe.
I feel like it's been a lot longer. I remember having anxiety about being in the right lane during rush hour and whether or not to let people in, or you're going to get slammed by a big truck behind you or not.
That's no longer, people are no longer merging right before the tunnel right there. So in one way on I-10, it's better.
And that fixed all the issues at the tunnel, right?
We're done now.
Yeah, why build a new one?
Did they close that before we, I guess they closed that entrance to I-10, I guess you would say, before we got everything wrangled out about a year ago with the Bay Bridge and the Bayway and all that. A year ago.
I want to say they closed that on-ramp from Water onto 10. I bet it was 8 years ago.
Really?
I might be way off on that because I'm terrible at guessing time, guessing how long it's been.
Yeah, I would not.
Now, during the day, I could, without looking at a watch or a clock, tell you about exactly what time it is, just some premonition. But if you're asking me how long ago something happened, I'm terrible at that.
Yeah. On the text line, if you remember when that was closed off, 251-343-0106.
Talked about some of the crime in major cities. This caught my eye in D.C. yesterday. An FBI agent was carjacked. So they're carjacking FBI agents now.
Wow.
Two people carried out the mid-afternoon armed carjacking, and they found the car about 30 minutes later, about a mile away. They said the FBI agent was carjacked near the Capitol in October. There was a separate one that happened last month. Another man, this was a diplomat from the UAE, and also a congressman. I'd forgotten about that. Congressman Henry Cuellar of Texas.
Cuellar. Yeah.
He was carjacked near the Capitol. So, sometimes it takes something happening to a public official. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for it to happen, but a lot of people, and I don't think Cuellar was, but a lot of these politicians who are like wanting to reduce criminal penalties or get people out of jail even sooner. And then once they are robbed or something happens to their family, they're like, we've got to do something about this. So the more crime you see in D.C., wonder if it might start changing some minds on the left side of that aisle up there.
Cuellar is from Texas, and I believe, I'm not sure if he's a Democrat or not.
Okay.
But anyway, he's from the border. And that's where they cross the border and they end up in towns, and Abbott puts them in a bus.
And ships them off.
Here they come. So, but it certainly could have been a resident of Washington, D.C. that pulled that one off, because they've got no problem with committing crimes up there.
Dink commenting on the possibility that the city of Mobile will just ticket low-level marijuana use rather than take them to jail. He said, I think we were talking about what kind of crime you'd be charged with. He said, on a simple ticket, but if you're caught with a firearm or harder drugs, it would make it an automatic 5 years minimum. Jason also asks, since when is impaired driving okay? It's just another way of eroding standards. Sad. Yeah, that's something that's been overlooked, well, mostly overlooked, in this entire movement to legalize or decriminalize marijuana. Is it's almost like you're just allowed to, you know, smoke while high, I guess.
Yeah, one more buzzed guy on the road.
Yeah, and it's not, I don't think, to the level of driving while drunk. It's still impaired driving.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe they'll find some technology to be able to tell if someone is high as they're driving. Right now, I don't think they have that kind of tech.
By the way, it was May 2017 that the that ramp on Water Street was closed to I-10.
So it's been 5 years.
Yeah, it's been five
Six years. Six and a half years.
There you go. And also Henry Cuellar, although he is not a liberal, he is a Democrat. 8:59, Jeff Poor Show. It's a mystery to all of us. We don't know who his guests are going to be, but we know he'll have some, and he's going to be up in about 6 minutes.